This recording, Fiji 5, is copyright the International Dialect of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in Knott Square near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much more nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress with a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with a palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment could be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, I tell you one thing that relates to how I speak and everything. My family, a lot of members of my family migrated to America, and my grandfather worked for United Airlines, so the family had an opportunity to come back all the time. And we lived in Fiji, and we had all our cousins come to visit us. But when the time they left, we all had American accents. It was funny. It was really, really funny. But we learned, because it wasn't actually rural, but we lived in a country town and everything. And my parents were not that educated. I mean, their English was just pretty standard. They could communicate. So that was our learning. And can you imagine American English? Yeah, they were from California, and I just remember the things, and people would say, "So where are you from?" I said, "Oh, I used to blame Nehru and Rishi for, because they would come, your holidays are for 3 months at a time. So they'd come and spend the entire time here, and by the time they left, I mean, we were trying to emulate them, believe me. Yeah, it is. And, then I went to a Methodist school, which was a very big cross section, and of Fijians, Indians, and all the mixed races, and it's considered one of the top schools for girls. And then when I went to New Zealand, and that's where you find out, can you say that again? You know, our pronunciation here is very, some schools in Suva area, you find that the English is so, like the Queen's English. But I had trouble when I was growing up, you know, to have access to that. We only learned what we were taught at school.